Thank you, Eleni, for that beautiful song. Thank you, Jason. That's a tough act to follow today, isn't it? Well, good morning again. This morning, we're continuing our series entitled Modern Parenting. And the purpose of the series is to focus on God's wisdom for Christian parents as we seek to raise and equip our children to face the challenges of the modern world. And parenting is filled with many challenges, isn't it? Tracy and I raised two wonderful daughters, and yet the process of raising them wasn't always easy, and it still isn't easy. It's amazing how, as your kids age, the parenting doesn't stop. The challenges just get harder in some ways. As a parent, you experience a full range of emotions. Joy and sadness, happiness and worry, pride and disappointment. And, I just think about parenting and just, it's just filled with wonderful blessings that are just the best kind of realities in life, but it's also very hard. I came across this quote this past week, "Family life, even in the closest of families, is not a fairy tale." And you're thinking, okay, that explains that, right? Parents face many challenges in the modern world, and today we're going to address two very unique challenges that many modern families are having to navigate. Parenting alone and parenting blending together two existing families. Now, there'll be some lessons here today for everybody, but the applications this morning are going to be very specific. And occasionally, we need a sermon like that. And it could be that everything we talk about today may not directly apply to your life, but my guess is you know someone that it applies to. So I would just encourage you to be prayerful. In my research for this sermon, I came across this stat in multiple sources in one form or another. Only about half of the children growing up in the United States live in a home with both biological parents. About half of the children growing up in our country live in a home with both biological parents. Now, to me, this summary statistic simply confirms what we know just through experience today, and that is that the modern family is increasingly diverse. Many parents are raising their children as single parents or as co-parents with a mother or father who live in a different home. More and more, maybe because of the death of one parent or perhaps because of a divorce situation, many existing families are joining together to form new family units. And so for the rest of our time today, I would like to try to offer some encouragement and some biblical wisdom for single parents and for mothers and fathers who are seeking to blend two families together. And for all Christian parents, our ultimate goal should be to establish homes which reflect the fruit of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that comes from God's Spirit within us, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Let's begin with mothers and fathers who are raising children on their own or maybe in a co-parenting situation. Some of you here today are trying to raise children on your own, and it's not easy. You're trying to be two parents. Perhaps you have guilt about past decisions and how they affect your children. Finances and making ends meet are a real concern, as is common with most single-parent situations. Many are probably just trying to survive. Often loneliness comes with parenting alone. You crave adult conversation and companionship. Related, you must make all the decisions about boundaries and expectations for your kids without the support or the input of a spouse. My experience is that many single parents are exhausted. You juggle many responsibilities and you're pulled in all kinds of directions. Children require so much time and energy. Raising kids is a never-ending job, and it seems to only get more busy, more complicated, and more demanding as they age. Maybe this morning you're in a joint parenting type of situation. You're trying to parent with someone who isn't your spouse or someone that you don't share a home with. Co-parents who choose to be friends and who agree on parenting philosophy, it's the best case scenario for everyone involved, including the kids, which should be the goal. But unfortunately, parents in joint custody type of situations don't always agree on the parenting strategy. Often they share different values and priorities, and this can lead to problems and to conflict. Now, with these honest thoughts in mind, what I want to do is just try to offer a little bit of encouragement and guidance to our single parents, and I certainly do not claim to be an expert. I've had a beloved sister go through that experience and tried to support her. The counsel that I'm going to share is rooted in God's truth, and it's rooted in the wisdom that's offered by Christian people, many of which are single parents themselves. And admittedly, like the other sermons, there's so many things we could talk about. I've tried to settle this particular point on three simple lessons. First, keep in mind as a parent that you're never alone. You may feel alone, but you're never alone. God is with us in every situation. The Bible says that God will neither leave us nor forsake us. Psalm 68:5 describes God as the father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. We meet the first single parent early in the biblical story, the story of Hagar and Ishmael in the early chapters of Genesis. In Genesis 21, Hagar is wandering in the wilderness with her young son, and she's desperate. And she prayed to God, and God provided her a well of water there in the wilderness. And as Christian single parents, you may be trying to do everything on by yourself, but maybe rather than trying to do everything, take time each morning to pray to God, asking Him to provide that well of water that you need for each day. Maybe on that particular day it's grace for the kids or toward the ex. Maybe it's the energy that you need. Maybe it's extra wisdom. Maybe it's financial resources. Maybe it's somebody to talk to. Second, if this is relevant to your situation, if this is even possible, pursue peace with your ex-spouse or with the co-parent. I think maybe the best case scenario is that peace looks like friendship between the two parents. And if that's not possible, perhaps peace is simply a ceasefire and an agreement on how to practically make this parenting partnership work. Peace is what is best for children. And this means we've really got to be cautious about what we say, and if we're maybe got in the habit of openly criticizing the other parent in front of the kids, that's not good for them. This means when safe and appropriate, we encourage our children to have a relationship with the biological parent, the other parent. One family counselor put it this way: when co-parenting, separate what is personal from what is parental. For all of us, I think a key to making sense of life and just finding peace is accepting that life isn't always going to be perfect. There's my big thought for the day. But I can confirm that, right? Life is messy. And sometimes we want great solutions for everything, and they don't exist. And this is certainly true in a co-parenting situation. Co-parenting can be challenging, but our sons and our daughters are worth the effort. One single parent made this honest comment: single parenting boils down to this. Change the things you can change and accept the things that you can't change. And there's a lot about single parenting that you just can't change. You can't change the other parent, but you can change your attitude toward him or her. Here's a third piece of advice. When possible, find ways to reduce stress in your life. And just saying that's probably stressful to you, right? Find ways to reduce stress in your life. That's good for all of us. I found an excellent article in preparation and read it for this sermon entitled 10 Ways to Reduce Single Parent Stress by an author by the name of Laura Broadwell. Let me just share a few of her suggestions with you. First, she says, get a handle on finances. And so part of that is, at some point, you can't think like a victim, and you may have cause to. At some point, you have to be proactive and be responsible. And so she suggests, take steps to budget your money, learn about investments, plan for college and retirement, and when possible, enhance your earning power by going back to school or getting additional job training. A second suggestion, be honest with your children. Inevitably, questions are going to rise about the changes that are taking place in the family or about the absence of one of the parents. Answer your children's questions in an open, honest, and age-appropriate way. As a quick aside, I think with most serious things in life, that's a pretty good philosophy. Number three, treat your kids like kids. Treat your kids like kids. Children have neither the emotional capacity nor the life experience to act as substitutes for adults. Rather than overly burdening your children, seek out adult friends and family members to talk to. A fourth suggestion, abolish guilt from your vocabulary. Rather than dwelling on what you can't provide for your children, focus on what you are providing them. Remember, the most important thing, this is true for everybody, the most important thing that we can give our children is not stuff. Nothing good comes from spoiling our kids. Rather, our greatest gifts are unconditional love, our time and presence, our attention, daily support, and exposing them to the love of God. And all of those things are free. A fifth suggestion, balance time for your children for time with yourself. Enjoy the time that you have with your kids. Show them love, talk with them, have fun together. This is what parenting is all about. You know, this is serious stuff today, but there's a lot of joy. We should just not take it for granted. The laundry can wait, in other words, okay? Don't neglect your own personal well-being either, which can happen. One single parent put it this way, self-care isn't selfish. We can't give what we don't have. I knew I needed time to recharge. For me, this means taking up hobbies outside of work. I exercised more. I spent time in prayer and in God's word. The healthier I became, the healthier my kids became as well. And you might think to yourself, how can I have time for myself when I'm responsible for providing the income, fixing meals, helping with homework, bath time, bedtime, getting to school, taxing the kids everywhere? And so I think that's a fair question, and it leads to the final stress reliever, which is gather and establish a support team. Gather a support team. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Who are those three strands for you? Everyone needs help and support in life. And this is certainly true of moms and dads that are trying to parent alone. Rather than trying to be a superhero, lean on those around you know, who you love and trust, and who you know love you and love your children. And an important part, I think, of a single parent's support team is the church. As a church, the single parents who attend RCC, they need our acceptance, they need our encouragement, they need practical help. In Romans 16, the Apostle Paul is talking about his friend Rufus, and he mentions Rufus's mother as someone who had been like a mother to him. And as a congregation, we have a special opportunity to be spiritual and surrogate mother and fathers, Christian models and examples, and mentors to single parents and their children. No one who comes to church, whatever the situation, should feel alone. Let's transition now to a second modern parenting challenge. And this is the blending of two established families into one new family. Now, for many of us, the first time we thought about the challenges of blending a family, two different families into one, was probably when we watched The Brady Bunch the first time. Maybe that's, I'm telling my age here, but The Brady Bunch. If you know the lyrics, why don't you say them with me? Till one day when the lady met this fellow, when they knew it was much more than a hunch, that this group must somehow form a family, that's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. You'll never hear me sing again. You want to keep singing? I just gave you the relevant part there. They must somehow form the family. Anyway, that was a disaster, really, probably. Sorry, Tracy. Once again, I embarrass you. In weekly 30-minute installments, the show made blending two families into one look easy and funny. However, there was only one Brady Bunch. It was a television show with writers. But as many of you know who are actively blending two families together, there is no script to follow. While joining two existing families certainly can result in many blessings, and that is certainly true in many ways, there can also be some challenges along the way. I want to share with you a couple quotes that explain some of the challenges. This first quote is from a book entitled The Smart Step Family by the author Ron Deal. And this is a book that a lot of people quote, and I used as a resource for this sermon. I would recommend it. The Smart Step Family could be a blessing to you. The author says, putting together or integrating a step family is one of the most difficult tasks for any family in America today. Integration involves combining two unique family histories and styles, various personalities and preferences, differing traditions, relational paths, and loyalties. Yet most people make the decision to bring two families together without consulting any guidelines or instructions or taking the time to develop a shared image of what the final jigsaw puzzle will look like. Here's another quote from an article entitled Successful Blended Families from a great web resource, All Pro Dad. It says, why do more than 60% of blended families end in divorce? That's an important thing to hear because it's challenging. People who marry again or people who are in a relationship with someone who has children are typically not prepared for the disputes over parenting, money, privacy, vacations, responsibilities, boundaries, rituals, holidays, etc. Stepchildren behaviors like disrespect, acting out, and/or favoritism, common stepchild discipline problems, custody, visitation, and/or financial support issues, and step-sibling relationship problems. I talked to Rick and Amy Newland of our church, who have been actively blending a family. They have wonderful children. And I knew I could gain wisdom from them. And with Amy's permission, I'm just going to share a few of her thoughts with you. If you know Amy, these are honest like Amy. But I mean that in a very helpful, healthy way, truthfully. She writes, this is not a family dynamic that God intended. Everything that is difficult in marriage and parenting is intensely magnified. At times, it is like the difference between a sunburn and being lit on fire. And she adds, LOL, but seriously. We must lean on God even more closely, pray unceasingly for guidance and His will. There needs to be role clarification. You need to have very clear expectations for everyone. God first, then marriage, then children. Putting any of these in the wrong order can and will spell disaster. The ghost or presence of former spouses or partners should not be given place in the new household. Being considerate is important, but should not be placed ahead of anyone in the primary family. Fairness is not always about being equal. Every person and their needs are different. Guilty parenting can so easily and often disrupt this balance and throw the whole dynamic into chaos. This is a favorite of the evil one's plot for destruction. Finally, patience and understanding cannot be underplayed. Well said. Thank you for sharing with us. So there are some of the challenges. Let's think about some ways to blend well. And I, again, I'm going to mention just two guidelines for successfully integrating two established families. And I'm just going to touch on this as we wrap up here today. First, be patient and realistic. Be patient and realistic. Yesterday, Tracy and I made chili, and make a pot of chili. You know, it's kind of therapeutic if you have time for it. You fry the meat, you put the tomato juice in, then you begin to add ingredients. You stir, you add more ingredients, chili powder, stir, add more chili powder. Just takes a little bit of time to do it. And my experience is that the chili tastes better on day two and even on day three. And it's because those ingredients have had time to integrate and to blend and assimilate. And I would suggest that it's true with blending a family. The things that I was reading in preparation for this sermon were somewhere between 1 year to 7 years to do it well. So I think that's kind of gives a little perspective, perhaps. The process of integrating two families can take a long time. There are many changes and adjustments for everybody. You're not simply bringing two sets of people together, but you're attempting to forge past stories, identities, and histories together. So be patient. Be flexible. Don't be afraid to laugh a little bit. Life has comedy in it. And extend grace to each other. I think what Paul says in Colossians 3, 13 and 14 can be applicable here. Bear with each other, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds in perfect unity. Second, be wise. Be wise. Be wise in how you go about blending the family. Based on research and just the experience of many couples, here's just a few wise principles for blending a family together. Allow the process of grief to take place. Allow the process of grief to take place. We all go through different kinds of grief. There are similar experiences in all kinds of situations. And it's true for the ending of two existing families and the joining of making a new one. Acknowledge that all family members have experienced significant losses prior to the new family forming and need an opportunity to grieve. And so that means you create an environment in the home where there's openness and honesty. You allow that. You allow hurts to be shared, fears and insecurities. But an open environment, more positive, will allow everyone to have input in shaping the new family dynamic. Number two, be unified as a couple. Be unified as a couple. Put your marriage first, as Amy alluded to. Put your marriage first. All the children will benefit from the example and the stability of a loving, healthy relationship. That is true in any family dynamic. Be mutually supportive of one another as you make joint decisions regarding the family. Make sure the children know that you are united in those decisions. I thought this was a good quote. The bottom line is this: any home is only as strong and as functional as the relationship between the adults in charge. Number three, develop new traditions and rituals. While drawing from the past, be creative, defining traditions and practices unique to the new family. A fourth principle, form meaningful step relationships. Form meaningful step relationships. And I'm just going to share some of the wise advice of parents that have gone through this before, counselors and so forth. Step-parents who define their role with stepchildren as a sort of aunt or uncle type of relationship are usually the most satisfied. This is especially true at the beginning. Recognize the importance of your stepchildren's relationship with the other parent, the biological parent, not in the home. And acknowledge that and encourage it when it's relevant and when it's safe. If it's not safe, it's a different conversation altogether. Do not seek to replace the other parent, but rather focus on creating a new distinct relationship with your stepchildren. Take small steps in building relationships with your stepchildren. Focus on building respect and trust first. then allow a loving relationship to naturally develop. Though both parents should be involved in defining the house rules, it is primarily the biological parents' responsibility to discipline their children. And again, that's especially true at first. Trust has to develop. One more comment here. Though step-siblings may not love one another, especially at first again, they should show respect, kindness, and courtesy to one another. When we practice these healthy habits and attitudes, love and friendship will typically follow. A lot of good advice there. Let me mention one final piece of wisdom. When all else fails in any family relationship, in any marriage, when all else fails, pursue the fruit of the Spirit in your own life. The fruit of the Spirit, the work of God's Spirit in your life, how do we know it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Be a step family member that reflects these qualities in your own individual life. This spiritual fruit will contribute to a healthy environment in the home, and it will allow the blending of the family to happen in a positive and encouraging way. I want to close today with one final lesson that is relevant for all families. It's the most important ingredient for a healthy, loving family, and that is to build your family upon the right foundation, which is the Lord. It is a shared commitment to Christ that equips mothers and fathers with the wisdom, the courage, the sense of unselfishness, and the love needed to raise our sons and daughters for life in the modern world. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words, and this is my paraphrase today. Therefore, any parent who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built his family or her house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds of the modern world blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because the family had its foundation on the rock. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, and we acknowledge you as the true Father from which our sense of family comes from. And Father, we acknowledge that we need to look to you to know how to form a family, how to forge a family. Father, I pray specifically today for blessings upon our families, our parents, our spiritual parents, our examples here today. Give us wisdom as we try to present Christ through our life and through our words to the children around us. Father, I pray for wisdom and for energy and strength for our single parents, that you would sustain them and bless them, guide them as they try to do many things and in the process raise their kids to know you. I also pray that you just give our parents that are blending families together wisdom in that process. Just give them a sense of peace and just guide them. They could build a family together that is filled with joy and happiness and that honors you. Father, we acknowledge today that we need your guidance as we seek to be the people you've made us to be. We pray for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.